Welcome to Radio SIH, dedicated to improving the health and well-being of all people in Southern Illinois. Here's Deborah Howell.
Hello and welcome to Radio SIH, brought to you by Southern Illinois Healthcare. I am Deborah Howell, and today we'll be talking about blood pressure and the secrets of the silent killer. Our guest is Dr. Cesar Coelho, Medical Director of Prairie Cardiovascular Consultants, one of Illinois' premier cardiac programs. Blood pressure is sometimes called the silent killer because you don't often know or feel when you're being affected. Dr. Coelho is here today to answer some of the questions you might have surrounding your own blood pressure and that of your loved ones. Welcome, Dr. Coelho.
Good morning, Deborah.
You know, there's a reason that blood pressure is considered a vital sign and one that people need to keep in check. Doctor, why is blood pressure so important?
Well, blood pressure is going to allow your body organs to receive enough oxygen in the blood. The problem is not that blood pressure is anything bad. It's only when it's too high or too low. So mm-hmm. We just have to have the right amount of blood pressure to produce a healthy body function.
Like everything in life, a little balance, right?
Correct.
What effects does blood pressure have on the body?
Well, if your blood pressure were too high, it will accelerate the wear and tear of all the vascular system, particularly the arterial system, and eventually produce failure, mostly in the way of narrowing and sometimes in the way of stretching the walls of the blood vessels enough that you get what we call aneurysm.
Mm-hmm. So an aneurysm is a stretched wall of the artery?
Yes, it is a enlargement of the pipe, which would be an artery, that gets dilated and baggy, and therefore can be actually more prone to rupture.
I see. Okay. Just stretched to the point of rupture. All right. Why do they call blood pressure the silent killer, doctor?
Well, the high blood pressure is sometimes not detectable by way of symptoms. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to produce a headache. It doesn't always have to produce shortness of breath or make you feel different than normal. It certainly can produce symptoms at times, but the most common problem is that it goes undetected until it is rather late and has produced enough damage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you tell us what some of the guidelines are on monitoring your own blood pressures and ways to maintain it so we stay in that balanced area?
I will say that the most critical thing is try to have a healthy lifestyle. And probably the most important part of that would be a diet that does not have too much sodium. And commonly we hear, you know, keep a low salt intake. Mm-hmm. But in these days, we actually probably have to be a little more specific and think of sodium rather than just salt. Unfortunately, most of the processed foods will need to be treated with some form of sodium to make them resistant to decay. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if you don't eat things that are frozen or fresh, you'll probably be getting some type of sodium. And you will need to be watchful for that. Read labels, which now are, I guess, much more common and people are more familiar with. But we should take advantage of that to select foods that are rather low in sodium whenever you can. The second thing would be a little more physical activity.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one would be to have some periodic screenings of your blood pressure, and you can do that in a variety of ways, either in a public location like many markets and pharmacies, or regular visits to your primary physician who will definitely check your blood pressure during at the physical exam. Or you can get a monitor yourself. They are widely available, and especially if you need to adjust your medications, you already have a condition, it's very important to have an idea where your blood pressure is.
Okay. And these kits, they're not very expensive, right? What would you say an average blood pressure kit would cost?
I don't know exactly the value, but I think there is a range, and you probably can find them between $40 and $60.
Okay. And how accurate are today's home blood pressure kits?
I have to say they are fairly accurate. My experience has been actually fairly reasonable with even the cheaper monitors.
Mm-hmm.
But if there were any problem, you always have to make sure you cross-check. And I like it when my patients bring their machine to the office and we
yes.
can compare that to the one we have there.
Right, good. And these are fairly mobile. So, you know, the argument in the past has been, well, I got to go on a two-week vacation or a two-week, you know, trip for business. You know, I don't want to carry this thing around. But they're pretty mobile these days.
They sure are. And you can actually, you know, wherever you are, stop in a, if you don't have a machine with you, just stop at a local pharmacy or drugstore, and they would likely have a machine available there for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good to know.
And
also, I think we're making progress on getting these types of apps on our phones where we might be able to take our own blood pressure with our own iPhone.
Definitely can do your heart rhythm. I'm not actually aware of one that can actually do the blood pressure itself, but, you know, actually, it's not very difficult, and I wish we could teach the kids to do this in school. I think
yeah.
that they will probably learn to use just a basic manual,
yeah.
A sphygmomanometer, which is the name of the machine that we use for blood pressure checks, and it's really kind of fun.
Yeah, for sure. Now, are kids needing to check their blood pressure?
I would say yes. The pediatricians will check the blood pressure on older patients. And there are some that actually will be found to have it elevated and may require treatment.
Interesting. I hadn't heard that before with children. Are there any other secrets of this silent killer we need to know about?
Well, if it's silent, the main thing is to be able to detect it. So once you know it's there, then your doctor can help you to treat it in the best possible way. There's a variety of medications. There is always something that is more appropriate for one patient, and your doctor will help you choose that.
Mm-hmm.
They may even have some side effects, and there will be alternatives that you can use for that as well. But don't forget that the most important part is always going to be an improvement in lifestyle.
Yes.
And reducing other risks along with that.
How much salt should we have in one day?
You know, that's a very good question, but it's really difficult for us to measure the amount of salt, sodium or salt that you have. I will recommend people just to stay away from highly processed foods. Don't use a salt shaker. Try to get your taste buds used to flavors that are seasoned with different things than just sodium. Salt has its benefits, but it's just so widely available, like carbohydrates
mm-hmm.
are, and therefore the excess produces an overwhelming effect on the body capacity to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we compare the diets of today to what people were getting 100 years from now, or in other parts of the world, and
mm-hmm.
you find that there's a big difference. So it's hard for me to say, you know, try to use 4 grams of sodium a day,
mm-hmm.
and how does that translate into something practical? Because I myself have a hard time knowing
yeah.
how much sodium I
yeah.
take.
I love salt so much. It's just terrible. And I'm wondering about sea salt. Is there any better benefit by using sea salt?
Sea salt seems to be slightly better. But, you know, even water, which is so good in great amounts, can, you know, be toxic and unhealthy and
mm-hmm.
even produce drowning. So I think that it's good to use the sea salt. The main problem is with the amount. And salt is tasty. So
yeah.
it's, you know, sweet and sweet and sour and sweet and salty is always very appealing. But don't forget that there will be consequences.
Right, right. So when you check yourself and you find, oh, my blood pressure is elevated, what's your first step?
Well, I'd love to hear that you don't overreact. You start thinking, okay, my blood pressure is elevated. That gives me a need for more awareness. And the next thing I would recommend is, okay, now we're going to start watching it a little mm-hmm. closer. Maybe at that point is where you want to have that monitor handy. And I recommend my patients, whenever we change medicines or when we are trying to decide if they really have high blood pressure or not, to mm-hmm. Check it twice a day.
Yep.
And ideally, they will do three blood pressure measurements, average those three, and that will be the number that we'll use for the morning, and then do the same in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I like them to sit down for 5 minutes with their arms over a table or an armrest, and then start taking the blood pressure. So once you keep that log for, let's say, a week or two, it gives you a great idea of where you are. Because
right.
normally blood pressure in a normal person should fluctuate, and it can fluctuate significantly throughout the different activities of the day and times of the day. So it's better to have a little log that gives you a more wide perspective of what's going on.
And the more accurate your log is, the more your doctor can help you and understand what's going on with your body.
Yes, and one of the concerns that you may actually have touched on is the over-treating it sometimes can result in excessively low blood pressure for some patients, and that's also associated with problems.
Mm-hmm, sure.
In addition to that, if you have somebody who loses a significant amount of weight, all of a sudden their blood pressure is going to be lower, and
right.
the medications that we're using previously may be too much for them. So continuing a monitoring of your blood pressure is actually a very healthy way to prevent those conditions.
All right. Well, thank you so, so much, Dr. Coelho, for being on the program today. Great information. I think you've motivated us to get our blood pressure checked regularly and to see our doctors regularly to keep an eye on it. That's our show for this week. Please join us again for another edition of Radio SIH, brought to you by Southern Illinois Healthcare. I'm Deborah Howell. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.